You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
A week ago, the CRTC revoked the broadcasting license of CKLN in Toronto. CKLN-FM is the community-based radio station operating out of Ryerson University. It's been broadcasting for 27 years with a lineup of alternative volunteer-based programming, much like what you find here at Vancouver Cooperative Radio. At the time of the decision, CKLN was operating with more than 150 volunteers and had recently held a funding drive that raised more than $50,000. Freya Zaltz joins us this morning to tell us more about what led to the decision and what it means for the campus and community radio sector as a whole. Freya Zaltz is Regulatory Affairs Director for the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the NCRA. She's also a board member at Co-op Radio. Hello, Freya.
Hello, good morning.
When does this CRTC decision to revoke CKLN's license come into effect?
Well, they've been asked to cease broadcasting by February the 12th, so they haven't been given very much time to prepare at all.
Revoking the license of a station seems a pretty severe thing to do. What reasons did the CRTC give for revoking the license?
Well, the reason that they gave has been ongoing non-compliance with the radio regulations and the regulatory requirements and conditions of license that are imposed on a radio station. And there are several different areas in which they say non-compliance has occurred, including not providing certain paperwork on time, not responding to requests from the commission and complaints from listeners, and some problems that occurred during a period when the station was not broadcasting at all. They were having some governance issues, and during the period that they weren't broadcasting, they were obviously not complying with any of the on-air content requirements. And the commission seems to have decided that despite all of the efforts that have been made by a brand new board of directors over the last year and a half to fix all of those problems, that their efforts haven't been good enough, and so the license should be revoked.
Well, you mentioned the governance issues. Let's look at those for a second. What was the nature of those problems?
Well, having not been there myself, I don't know how accurately I can describe them, but just in a nutshell, I think there was a conflict regarding which persons made up the legitimate board of directors. So there was some kind of annual general meeting, people were elected, and then another group of people decided that election had not taken place according to the bylaws of the organization, and so another meeting was held and another board was elected, and the two groups were competing with each other for control of the station, and eventually the Ryerson Students Union, which provides funding to them through student fees, and the property management company of the building that they were inhabiting on the Ryerson campus, became concerned that they didn't know who was the legitimate operating body, and so the funding then was temporarily ceased, and some issues arose with respect to who had keys to the station and the studios and the transmission equipment. And until those things were sorted out, the station went off the air for a period of time. But I think it's still unknown exactly what happened, because each person and each side of that conflict has a different perspective about what led to the problems.
Now, I understand that after all of this, these governance problems occurred, there was an attempt by a group to rebuild the station prior to the CRTC decision. Can you tell us about those efforts?
Yes, I've been working directly with some of those volunteers. The station elected a new board of directors. They held a new annual general meeting. More than 100 people turned out to it. They elected a new board of directors. Some of them were people who had been volunteers at the station in the past. Some were students, and some were community members, and they worked together to try to bring the station into compliance. So they got programmers back on the air, they provided training to new programmers. They updated policies and procedures. They even recently amended the bylaws of the station to bring them into compliance with CRTC requirements and also to make them just a bit more productive. And I think the old bylaws were a bit unusual for a radio station, just in terms of the structure and some of the powers and provisions. So they amended them to make them make more sense based on what the organization was trying to accomplish. And they've had really excellent participation, as far as I understand, from volunteers. They've been increasing the involvement of students from the Ryerson campus in creating programming. They've created new paperwork, new procedures for people to keep track of the content that's being played. They've installed new equipment to keep audio logs as required by the CRTC. So they've done really an enormous amount. They've also raised enough money to eliminate a large debt that they had in the past. And they weren't perfect, certainly, by the time of the hearing, but they had made huge gains over where they had been before.
Well, it sounds like an impressive effort was put in to try and save the station. Given all of that, was the decision by the CRTC a surprise?
Oh, absolutely. I was shocked. And there's a dissenting opinion written at the end of the same decision by Commissioner Louise Poirier, and she seems to have been shocked as well. She says that hastily revoking a campus radio station license from a station that's been operating since 1983 will not send a positive signal to the campus radio community. She acknowledges that it consists of organizations comprised mainly of volunteers who contribute time and energy to give their community a voice. And she says that that kind of action is premature, disproportionate, and inequitable, and I completely agree with her. There are other measures that the CRTC could have put into place beforehand. For example, they have an option of issuing what's called a mandatory order, which has the force and effect of a court order in requiring a station to comply with its license requirements. So a station that doesn't comply is then effectively in breach of a court order. And the CRTC often applies one or more mandatory orders before it revokes a license. So the last time it revoked a license, for example, 6 mandatory orders had been issued to that station beforehand. And in this case, no mandatory orders have been issued.
Does Ms. Poirier have any ideas as to why the CRTC would then change their method and come down with a decision like this?
Well, she doesn't say why. The only thing she says is that the only winner in this sort of situation is that would be future applicants who want to apply for this frequency that's being used by CKLN, which is a very desirable frequency given the spectrum scarcity in major urban centers in Canada. So in Toronto, there are no available frequencies except now for this one. So I have no idea whether that was a motivation in the CRTC's making of this decision, but she is acknowledging that there's nobody who's going to benefit from this decision except possibly people who want a frequency.
And who might those people be?
Well, we have no idea. It's CKLN is broadcasting at fairly low power, so it's in terms of commercial use, it's not really that desirable in terms of the reach that a new commercial station would have. But it's possible, and I haven't studied any of the engineering maps for Toronto, but it's possible that a station that's beside this one on the FM dial would want to expand and encroach on the area that's currently inhabited by CKLN, and they'd be prohibited from doing that while CKLN is operating. But I really don't know whether that's actually the case. I'd be surprised if someone didn't want it, but I have no way of knowing whether this was in the commission's mind at the time they made the decision. They may well just feel like they need to be more strict with licensees because compliance is very important, And that might have been the motivating factor rather than any knowledge of specific commercial applicants. I don't know.
What does this mean for the rest of the community radio sector?
Well, I think it should be cause for concern for every campus and community radio station, because stations that are working on a low budget, that employ only a few staff, they tend to have staff who, at least when they start out, have very little training in regulatory requirements and broadcasting and legal issues. And they also have a huge number, many stations have a huge number of volunteers who have to be supervised and have to learn all of these requirements as well. And I think it's rare for any volunteer-run station to have 100% compliance. And that's not for lack of dedication or good faith in adhering to the requirements. It's just a fact of life that people make mistakes, some people forget, people are new, they're just learning, and I think there needs to be some allowance for that. And the CRTC in their decision is suggesting that there is no room for any kind of error. Good faith is not enough. Stations need to be 100% compliant all the time, and that's all the CRTC will accept from them.
Well, now that CKLN's license has been revoked, what avenues are open to them?
Well, the Broadcasting Act provides an opportunity for appeal to the Federal Court of Appeal. So the CRTC's decision is considered to be final, and so appeal is one route. Obviously, that's quite expensive, and it could take a very long time. In order to appeal to the Federal Court of Appeal, a party must seek leave to appeal from the court first, so that's a separate application. That must be done within 30 days, and if leave to appeal is granted, then they have to appeal. And an appeal must be based on some kind of error, legal error or error of jurisdiction on the part of the commission. At this stage, I'm not sure whether an error can be found in this particular decision. It's obviously shocking, it's very heavy-handed, but there may not be anything that's legally wrong with it. So the other options would be some kind of intervention through the federal government. It has occurred from time to time, although it's rare, that the federal government issues an order in council requiring the CRTC to reconsider one of its decisions. If the decision is deemed to be some kind of error with respect to priorities that the government identifies as being priorities that the commission ought to be considering in their decision making. So that's also an option. And then the third option would be for CKLN to apply for another license. And they may take all of those steps together or just one or two of them.
Well, for those of us involved in community radio, this is obviously a very disturbing decision. What kind of support is CKLN getting from people in Toronto and around Canada?
A volunteer in Toronto who's been involved with CKLN has created a petition. It's an online petition, and anyone can go there and sign it. They're intending to submit it to the CRTC just so that they're aware that there's so much concern with their decision, and also to their member of parliament, who is Bob Ray. To date, there are 2,300 signatures on the petition, but also there has been some discussion on the NCRA email list amongst other stations. At least one station has created a public service announcement that it's distributed across the country for all stations to play about this decision and how they're dissatisfied with it. And also, there have been stations like CFRO, CKUT in Montreal, and I believe others are airing some programming discussing this decision as well.
Okay, thanks so much for speaking with us today, Freya.
Okay, thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Freya Zaltz. She is Regulatory Affairs Director for the National Campus and Community Radio Association. She's also a board member here at Co-op Radio.